Welcome to CoinStack, our podcast and newsletter on Bitcoin, Ethereum, Polkadot, DeFi, blockchain, Web 3.0, and the future of money. Let's get started. CoinStack is sponsored by HeartRhythm, the crypto quant fund focused on global and social transformation. For 3 years now, their crypto trading strategies have generated exceptional returns without a single down month by using a combination of algorithmic trading, margin lending, DeFi yield farming, and hedged liquidity pools. HeartRhythm is now hiring to scale up their team, which is currently based in San Francisco, Boulder, and Chicago, but it's a remote-first team, so you can live anywhere. They're hiring smart contract developers, quant engineers, data scientists, and a COO and CFO with hedge fund experience. If you're interested in joining their exceptional team or learning more about their crypto quant fund and social impact focus, visit heartrhythm.com. That's rhythm like algorithm, R-I-T-H-M. Thank you to HeartRhythm for sponsoring this episode of CoinStack.
Going on, CoinStackers, it's your favorite DeFi degen coming at you again on Thursday, November 11th, where we have a brand new latest market forecast by our founder, Ryan Alice, as well as your This Week in Crypto, where we go over the macro news that will affect your bag. So stay tuned as we give you, let you know what's going on as Ryan tells us the cycle top in Q1 2022. Latest market forecast, a cycle top in Q1 2022 by Ryan Alice. We define the first year of a cycle as the year the Bitcoin halving occurs, when supply for miners get cut by 50%. That happened in 2012, 2016, and 2020, and will continue to happen every 4 years. As you can see above, the third year of a Bitcoin cycle has historically always been a down year. In the year of a halving, 2012, 2016, and 2020, the mining supply gets reduced by half, which has historically driven up price for around 12 to 18 months after the halving. Average Bitcoin returns by cycle year. Year 1, 205% positive. Year 2, 2,323% positive. Year 3, negative 64%. Year 4, 61%. Year 2 of a cycle equals big swings, upswings. The best years for crypto are usually the first full year after Bitcoin halving year 2, while the worst are the inevitable bubble pops, which has always happened in the year of a Bitcoin cycle. In the second year of a cycle, 2013, 2017, 2021, we have historically seen major irrationally exuberant upswings, always followed by a major crash, think greater than 80% in both 2014 and 2018 from peak to bottom. 2022 is the ominous year 3 of the cycle. Will we break the pattern? In 2022, we're going into the very ominous third year in the cycle, the second full year after Bitcoin halving. Historically, this has always been a down year for BTC and digital token asset class. Will we see a major pullback in 2022 like we saw in 2014, 2018? That is a trillion-dollar question. While there is more institutional capital coming into this space than ever before, we expect this will rapidly drive up prices and create a speculative frenzy in Q1 2022, which we expect to pop by Q2 2022. Yes, there is more utility in cash flows to holders via staking than ever before, so I remain very bullish about the long-term picture, simply cautious for the next 12 months. Time to be cautious and start moving to safety. While no one knows for sure when the next big pullback will happen, sitting at all-time highs today, it's time to start thinking about being cautious right about now. As BTC gets above 70K and Ether gets above 5K, it's definitely time to start moving to safety if your hold window is less than 36 months. Anyone who says we're in a continuous up only super cycle won't ever see a 50% plus crash ever again has been on a bit too much hopium. Yes, the 4 year Bitcoin halving cycles are becoming less and less relevant, but they still do affect the overall market and probably will for another 4 years or so until BTC gets another 10% market cap dominance. What am I planning on doing? Moving slowly to safety. I plan to start selling about 5% of my stack each week. That BTC is above 70K and Ether is above 5K until I get to 50% into USDC, which would take 10 weeks. And thus, I'd be 50% to stablecoins by February. The other 50%, I'm going to get it right until 2031. Cycle top guess. I do think Bitcoin will eventually reach 250K and Ether 25K. But I think we will see those prices in the next cycle, in 2024, 2025, not 2022. What's my prediction? I think Bitcoin will top out this cycle somewhere between 90K and 130K during Q1 2022. And then have a healthy 60% correction by mid-2022. And then slowly start to recover into early 2023. It's incredibly difficult to predict this exactly, of course, and there are many factors that can shift this in a moment, like the China mining ban of May 2021. For example, know that no one can know exactly, and this is only my best guess with the market data and historical patterns I have available, and my understanding of the human psychology of irrationality, exuberant markets. We're getting pretty close to euphoria, so now is the time to be cautious. The last time markets were in this euphoric, excluding the temporary elevated prices of March 2021, was almost 4 years ago, on November 1st, 2017, when there were exactly 45 days left before the market peak. And when we last hit this level in January 2021, we had 3 months left to go until the peak. What are my expectations? I have been on point this year about Bitcoin, calling the summer bottom on June 23rd, 2021 at 30K, and writing July 5th that I thought Bitcoin would have a double peak and reach all-time highs by fall, and then reach 90 to 100K by December 31st, 2021. I did, however, get completely blindsided by the April/May 2021 Bitcoin drop of 58% due to the renewed Chinese mining ban. So take my expectations with a grain of salt. I didn't at all see that coming. We'll see where we actually end up and whether my more aggressive friends prevail with 150K blow off top. I see the 4-year Bitcoin cycle influence waning by 2025. Thankfully, with Bitcoin becoming less and less of the total digital asset market cap, currently at 43% and declining from 71% at the beginning of 2021, the 4-year supply cycle of Bitcoin mining likely won't be much of an influence on the market by 2025. The Bitcoin dominance level will continue to decline the next decade pretty steadily as Bitcoin becomes less and less technological innovative and loses ground in the quickly growing sectors of DeFi, NFTs, gaming, and Web 3.0, which primarily happen on faster, newer, cheaper blockchains. Ethereum, Solana, Avalanche, Phantom, and Polkadot are eating Bitcoin's lunch in DeFi right now. So yes, there's always another crash around the corner in crypto markets. The moment you stop remembering that this is the moment you get burned, don't say I didn't warn you. Now's the time to be cautious, not greedy. Be cautious when others are getting greedy, and greedy when others are running away. The time to invest is when the crypto market is at less than 50% of its all-time highs. The time to sell some of your holdings is when the crypto market is at all-time highs. I suggest keeping 50% of your holdings as a long-term 10-year bet till 2030 plus. And you ever have considered de-risking as the market valuations get higher and higher, a little bit each week. The time to invest in crypto was a year ago, or in June 2021 in a temporary pullback. The time to hold is now, and the time to begin to reduce exposure is coming very soon. So what to do? Consider starting to take some gains with this winter and gradually look to move partially either into stablecoins like USDC, which you can generate yield on in DeFi or CeFi, or in market-neutral crypto yield funds, like Hartman, for example, that do well regardless of market conditions. For me, I'll be selling 5% of my crypto holdings every week for the next 10 weeks, moving to stablecoins, generating yield on those stablecoins in DeFi. You can do this easily on a CeFi platform like Nexo, BlockFi, or Celsius. And with a little more work, you can get much higher yields in DeFi. CeFi stablecoin yields tend to be 6 to 10%, while DeFi stablecoin yields are current in the teens. If you're up 5x or more on the year, don't be greedy. Consider taking some gains and live to invest more at the inevitable next 50% plus market dip. Yes, I remain very bullish on digital assets in for a 10-year period, but I'm starting to see prices get too overheated and that we may soon be heading for a major pullback. All right, crypto news recap, the top 10 stories. Ethereum sets a new all-time high price as crypto market cap nears $3 trillion. Ethereum reached a new all-time high price of $4,766 earlier on Tuesday, flying past its previous all-time high record of $4,634 set last week. Bakkt expands cryptocurrency offerings to include Ethereum. Ethereum's new record comes after digital asset marketplace Bakkt Holdings, which is listed on New York Stock Exchange last month, and has said expands crypto offerings to include the coin. In a press release by Bakkt, Bakkt Holdings, a trusted digital asset platform that enables to buy, sell, and send and spend a range of digital assets, announced that it's offering users and partners the ability to buy and sell hold Ethereum, the cryptocurrency of the Ethereum network. Starting soon, users can also send Ethereum to family and friends directly through the Bakkt app. With the addition to Ethereum to its existing capabilities with Bitcoin, Bakkt will offer users the ability to access two cryptocurrencies representing more than half the total market value of all cryptocurrencies. Bakkt's addition of Ethereum comes at a time of growing interest and adoption of cryptocurrencies. In its U.S. consumer crypto survey, Bakkt found nearly half of respondents had bought some form of cryptocurrency within the last year. Underscoring the growth popularity of cryptocurrency, many non-adopters also expressed interest in adopting the asset class before year end. Number three, we have BlockFi's Nirberg Berman filing for a spot Bitcoin ETF. A joint venture between crypto lender BlockFi and investment management firm Nirberg Berman filed for Bitcoin exchange traded fund with the U.S. Securities Exchange Commission. Notably, the BlockFi NB Bitcoin ETF would also offer shares reflecting the spot value of the Bitcoin held by the trust. Shares issued by the trust would trade on the New York Stock Exchange and provide direct exposure to the leading cryptocurrency by market capitalization. The filing differs from a filing BlockFi made last month to offer Bitcoin futures ETF, which would only invest in the futures contract traded on the CME. ProShares was the first ETF shop to launch a Bitcoin-linked ETF for U.S. investors. Next one up, we have MasterCard launches crypto-linked payment cards in Asia that allow holders to convert their crypto to fiat instantly. MasterCard has launched cryptocurrency-linked payments cards in the Asia-Pacific region that will allow holders to instantly convert their digital assets into fiat currency for the first time, the company announced on Monday. The card seeks to remove any barrier between merchants who do not accept digital assets as payment and customers who want to pay in crypto. The partnership with Hong Kong's Amber Group, Thailand's BitCub, and Australia's CoinJar will allow consumers and businesses in the region to apply for a crypto-linked credit card, debit card, or prepaid cards, which can be spent anywhere MasterCard is accepted. The three firms will join MasterCard's global crypto card program to become the first Asia-Pacific-based digital asset service provider on the roster. The program is aimed at making crypto transactions as seamless as possible. And next one up, we have Zimbabwe considers unstoppable crypto as legal tender. Local media reports that the Zimbabwe government is considering crypto as legal tender in the country. According to Bulawayo 24, the country's director of IT and communications, Charles Wekwit, said the government had open dialogue with all stakeholders on the matter. The comment came as Wekwit was speaking at the Computer Society of Zimbabwe summit, which ended on the weekend. The central theme of the conference was the use of digital innovations as a means for post-pandemic recovery. While much is said about the role of crypto in saving the economy, the issue is still a contentious one. However, as more countries warm to the idea of crypto playing a role in financial infrastructure, the strength of argument against it will begin tapering away. As some predicted, El Salvador, being the first country to accept Bitcoin's legal tender, would set off a snowball reaction as economically oppressed nations look elsewhere for a better deal. Next up, we have UK Treasury and Central Bank will consult on CBDC potentially launching by 2030. The Bank of England and the United Kingdom Finance Ministry are planning to launch a consultation on the possible rollout of a central bank digital currency starting in 2022. In a Tuesday statement, the Bank of England said the digital pound consultation with HM Treasury would consider design features, benefits, and implications for users and business, as well as other relevant issues. The results of the 2022 consultation will determine whether UK authorities intend to move forward with a central bank digital currency or CBDC. If the results of this development phase conclude that the case for CBDC is made and that is operationally and technologically robust, then the earliest date for launch of a UK CBDC would be in the second half of a decade, said the central bank. The Bank of England added, no decision has been made on whether the UK would be introducing a CBDC in the future. However, any digital pound project would be aimed at existing alongside cash and bank deposits rather than replacing them. In April, the Bank of England Finance Ministry established a task force aimed at exploring the role of CBDC, including issues associated with the design as well as its possible implementation operation in the United Kingdom. Chancellor of the Exchequer Rishi Sunak said in July local officials would be consulting on pioneering reforms to support the safe adoption of crypto assets and stablecoins and explore the case for a CBDC in the country. Story number seven, SEC releases report urging DeFi operators to reach out. SEC Commissioner Caroline Crenshaw has published a statement on DeFi risk regulation opportunities on November 9th, advising decentralized finance platforms to contact them. In it, she acknowledged that the crypto is now part of the vernacular, whether on news, social media, entertainment, and investment portfolios. In an effort to clarify the regulatory status of DeFi in the United States, the report stated that many DeFi products closely resemble those in traditional financial marketplaces. In late August, the SEC partnered with blockchain analytics firm and Chain.ai to monitor the DeFi space. DeFi risk and reward. Kershaw stated that although there are many warnings about the risks associated with DeFi, it suffers structural limitations due to it being unregulated. She added that the SEC is one of many departments that have jurisdictions over DeFi, in particular securities, but no DeFi platform has yet to register with the regulator. Therefore, participants remain unprotected by any legal framework that applies to traditional finance. Kershaw encouraged DeFi operators to reach out to the Commission's FinHub for expert advice on whether they stand with regards to regulations, adding, "It is my understanding that FinHub has never refused a meeting and their engagement is meaningful." She said that the enforcement is not the preferred path, referring to the SEC's cease and desist order of blockchain credit partners in August. The regulator would prefer that more projects voluntarily comply with regulations, though what they would have to comply with was not detailed. Next up, Consensus founder Joe Lubin teases MetaMask token, Mask. One of Web3's most essential tools may be getting a token. Joseph Lubin, founder of Ethereum incubator Consensus, set off speculation in a token for the non-custodial wallet MetaMask is imminent after tweeting, "When $Mask, stay tuned." MetaMask, which has 10 million monthly active users and is developed by Consensus, is one of the main ways users interact with Web3 and DeFi. Lubin tweeted in response to speculation Consensus may want tokens on its balance sheet because JP Morgan has a stake in the company. Consensus has thousands of tokens on our balance sheet, Lubin wrote. Lubin's tweet has been linked hundreds of times in the 2 hours since it was posted, indicating the excitement of a MetaMask token inspires, with many MetaMask users already expecting an airdrop. Solana powers up Web3 gaming projects with a $100 million funding deal. You know a new iteration of Web is coming to take off when the gamers get on board. Web3 just picked up Serious Mojo with a $100 million fundraising deal designed to build out the next generation of gaming apps and ventures. Solana Ventures, the strategic investment arm of Solana Labs, has joined forces with Lightspeed Ventures and FTX to finance a studio for gamers that will live on Web3, the rapidly expanding home for decentralized apps powered by the Ethereum blockchain. The firm is planning to create games, technology, and projects at the intersection of blockchain and gaming, they said in a joint statement released today. In the last few months, we have seen talented game builders leave their jobs at Riot, EA, Scooply, and other established gaming firms to build Web3 games on Solana, said Anatoly, CEO of Solana Labs. We're excited to collaborate with Lightspeed and FTX to support the accelerate this new wave of builders. And last but not least, we have 10% of China's population have open digital yuan wallets per PBOC official. The number of users in China's digital yuan, also known as the ECNY, has increased by more than six times over the past 4 months. That's according to Mu Chengchun, head of the Digital Currency Research Institute at the People's Bank of China, who said in the Hong Kong FinTech Week conference that number is about 10% of China's total population and has sharply increased since July, when the PBOC said in its first ever ECNY white paper that 20 million retail digital yuan wallets were open as of June 30th. Weekly crypto fundraisers and deals. First up, we have Matter Labs, the firm behind Zcash Sync, raised $50 million in a Series B led by A16Z. Next up, we have Neon Labs, an ETH to SOL bridge, raising $40 million in a private sale led by Jump Capital. After that, we have Solidius Labs, a risk monitoring firm, raised $15 million led by Liberty City Ventures. Number four, we have CoinMina, crypto exchange, raising $9.5 million seed round led by FTX. And last but not least, we have Spruce, a decentralized identity startup, raising $7.5 million led by Ethereum. Key stats of the week. I'm actually pretty excited about this one. Dot holders have pledged $1 billion ahead of its first Polkadot parachain auction. That is freaking awesome to see, like, the fact that in nothing, like, literally in a matter of, I think it was like a day or so, that we literally have $1 billion of TVL already in Polkadot, which is freaking amazing and really shows, like, the retail sentiment behind that chain. Number two, we have outflows accelerated this week, reaching over 5,000 Bitcoin in net withdrawals on a daily basis, as observed by Glassnode. That was on a 7-day moving average. Check out the newsletter to actually see that graphic. Number three, we have Ethereum cracking the top 15 assets by market cap amid reaching a new all-time high this week. I'm looking at $561 billion at the time of writing, surpassing JP Morgan and Chase Bank that have sub-$500 billion market caps. Number four, the mean Ethereum transaction fee over the last week averaged roughly $50 with a median $26. Sweet. Axie Infinity's Katana breaks $1.2 billion in TVL after launch of its governance token. ETH's price movements continue to have a correlation above 50% with Bitcoin. Total TVL reaches a new all-time high of $273 billion this week. And Ethereum name service cracks top 10 most actively used dApps based on one-day fees. For those of you who got into the airdrop, that's amazing. And that's probably the thing that's, I don't know, I hope we have continued activity on Ethereum name service, because for me, that just signals just an easier way for people to jump into crypto. And that way we don't have to send each other these super long, complicated Ethereum address and just do it at CoinSec.ieth. Just letting you know. All right, don't fight the Fed. Highlights from the crypto, from the top crypto reports. First up, we have Dan Moorhead, Pantera Capital's managing partner, writing this month's investor letter tracking inflation and what it means for the crypto markets. And so Dan writes, it's a brave new world where central bankers are promising to increase inflation. I'm old enough to remember when they used to fight it. Over the decades, not all central banks have been successful in fighting inflation. It's complicated. It takes commitment. However, every central bank that has tried to create it has succeeded. Venezuela is the current title belt holder, followed by Zimbabwe. These countries have shown that when you increase the quantity of paper money, it takes more pieces of paper money to buy things of real value. Then we have stablecoin lending yields more than twice that of U.S. junk bonds. The team over at Arcane Research published their latest weekly report, highlighting what they have seen in the junk bond market as well as what yields look like. And so they write, the average interest rate on U.S. savings account right now is 0.06%. If you want to take more risk to yield your capital, you could purchase junk bonds paying 4% on average close to an all-time low. If you want more than twice as high yields as that of junk bonds, you can leverage stablecoins by lending USDC on centralized crypto lending platforms, with interest rates ranging from 7.5 to 8.9%. Total value locked in DeFi is increasing fast, with almost $14 billion being locked in Aave, up from $2 billion in January. With the increase in demand for stablecoin lending, how long will these high yields last? And then we have why Goldman sees Ethereum soaring to 8,000 by year end. Zero Hedge's Tyler Durden was leaked a note from Goldman Sachs Global Markets Managing Director Bernard Rizmelka. Brother, if you're listening to this and I screwed up your name, please let me know. I really respect you and what you're doing over at Goldman Sachs. Showing that crypto assets have traded in line with inflation, breaking even since 2019. This, according to Goldman, lines up well with the Ethereum chart. In the past few days, the prices of crypto broke out new all-time highs, reaching just shy of 4,500 with a narrow wedge, which to Goldman is either a sign of exhaustion and peaking or starting point of an accelerating rally upon a break higher. To Goldman, the answer to this rhetorical question is easy, and the bank hints that Ethereum could surge as high as 8,000 in the next 2 months if the historical correlation with inflation forward persists. And while some could argue that ETH is due for a pullback, Goldman counters that while the recent surge may appear stretched, the RSI has yet to hit the overbought levels as seen in past market highs. Guys, it has been a crazy week, as it always is in our beloved little crypto market. Stay tuned for the Phantom deep dive that we have coming at you later this week. And until then, see you guys next week. Peace.
CoinStack is sponsored by HeartRhythm. HeartRhythm is an algorithmic crypto quant fund with assets under management in the top 10% of crypto funds. For 3 years now, their crypto strategies have generated exceptional returns without a single down month by using a combination of algorithmic trading, margin lending, DeFi yield farming, and market-neutral hedged liquidity pools. Their strategies have never had a down month going back to 2018 through both bear and bull markets. On the team, they have a cognitive science PhD, world-class engineers and quants from Google, Airbnb, and Citadel, and an operations team from top venture funds. HeartRhythm is on track to put 50% of their performance fees into social impact projects as part of building a crypto quant fund that does good in the world and brings millions of dollars per year into social impact grants. They're building a brilliant regenerative engine for social transformation that turns code into money and money into good while generating exceptional returns. And now HeartRhythm is scaling up their team. They're hiring smart contract developers, quant engineers, data scientists, and a CFO and COO with hedge fund experience. If you're interested in joining their exceptional team or learning more about becoming part of their crypto quant fund, visit heartrhythm.com. That's rhythm like algorithm, R-I-T-H-M. 100% heart and 100% algorithms. That's Heart Rhythm. Thank you to Heart Rhythm for sponsoring CoinStack.